The Kenech Daf is Daf Mem Ches, get a broader sense of what's happening. What the Gemara is really doing is what the Gemara often does, pretending that everything is tangential, while in actuality raising every possible issue that would define the validity of a Kiddushin where there was something other than an actual item that was given over from hand to hand. Now, obviously, the context of this entire discussion was Mekadesh B'Milva. But while we do that, we bring up all of the other possibilities in the guise of, shall we say that Mekadesh B'Milva Einu Mekudesh, the statement of Rav, is actually a Machlokas Tanoim. And we keep bringing up things in which it appears to be a Machlokas Tanoim, and meanwhile we discover all types of other issues that are similar to Mekadesh B'Milva, but that are not really the issue of Mekadesh B'Milva. We're going to continue to do that today. And again, this is the derech of the Gemara, to utilize a model for a concept and then take a look and see all of its variants. So we've gone through some interesting issues, and by the way, I want to point out that in Mekadesh B'Milva itself, because of the way that we've looked at these variants, we've also ended up with some deeper understanding of subcategories of Mekadesh B'Milva. For instance, when we first started thinking about Mekadesh B'Milva, we didn't realize that we have to consider the difference between a case where there is something left of the loan or where there isn't. There's something left, so maybe then you could be Mekadesh B'Milva, because then you're actually giving her something. She has the money in her hand. What's not committed was handed to her before. Now that, Rav said, makes no difference, because really, Milva lo tzanit. Now by saying those words, he's saying, even if there is money, it's not your money, it's her money. And that was a question that we already found yesterday. Maybe there is a way of learning that there's a machlokes tanoim about that particular detail, although Rav denied it. He gave another explanation. Furthermore, we also discovered that within the idea of Mekadesh B'Milva, you have to remember that you're dealing with the question of when do you draw upon a milva? In other words, if you had a milva but you haven't drawn on it, what's the din there? Is it still a milva, or is it considered to be extant in that the lender can change his mind and change, therefore, the purposes of the money into kedushin instead of a milva? That's also an issue. Another issue that we discovered that's also a subcategory of Mekadesh B'Milva was, how about if a section of the Kedusha was a milva and some of it was not a milva, so it was a pruta besides the milva? There was a separate issue, whether the ikar das of the woman would have been on the milva or whether she recognizes that a bird in hand, which is the pruta, is perhaps more valuable for the Kedusha than all of that stuff in the bush, which is the milva, and she's focusing on the pruta. So those were all subcategories really of Mekadesh B'Milva, and today we're going to branch out into all types of other issues that come under the general rubric of a Kedushin in which there wasn't something concrete that changed hands, but there was something of value, and we need to see where the Netina was in that. And again, we're going to keep doing this with the pretense that we're trying to find a Machlokes Tanoim, which is about Mekadesh B'Milva, and each time it turns out we have another explanation. Now, it happens to be that we were smack bang in the middle of one of those little supposed tangents yesterday, because we had over there a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, where somebody does one of two things. Either he gives over a financial instrument to a woman, he wants to be mekadesh with the financial instrument, or he gives her over the rights of collection with a power of attorney or whatever it is on a loan. And those were two different cases. We thought initially that it was all talking about Mekadesh B'Milva. The first case we thought, what's the difference whether it's a contract, whether it's a power of attorney? So we thought the difference was perhaps that the case of the contract meant it was her own contract, and that was the question, was Mekadesh B'Milva, which of course we ended up understanding, no, there's really two completely different issues over here. One was a machlokas about the nature of giving over a financial instrument, and we had many levels of possible explanations about why there would be a machlokas, Rabbi Meir Chachamim, about a financial instrument. Okay, ranging all the way from, can you give over a financial instrument without writing out another contract which now provides for that giving over, to how that financial new contract would be written, does it have to say, and all liens that accrue to it, to the question of whether you could go ahead and be mochel the loan, to the question of whether a woman really cares if you can be mochel because she doesn't think you'll be do it. Okay, that was what we discussed yesterday. That was about the first section of the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, a financial instrument. We left right smack bang in the middle because we hadn't explained, and what was the machlokas Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim of section B? Section B was when you gave her over a power of attorney on a loan. We're over there, there was no financial instrument because the loan hadn't been made with any financial instrument. It was a milva alpeh. So we said today, and this is where we're holding today, and that is on the Memches Amud Aleph, the last word of the seventh line. So b'milva alpeh, b'may pligi, this is smack bang in the middle of that conversation. And what was Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim arguing about when it came to the question of the oral loan, which you were giving over power of attorney for? But Ravun Amarav, what they're arguing on is a fascinating question of, is it possible to give over a loan to somebody else where that loan is oral? In other words, financial instruments, we figured out ways of being able to give over to somebody else. They might be a little bit complicated, but it's possible. You can endorse a check and so on. But just to tell somebody, well, you know what? I want to give you the rights to prosecute this loan. You keep the money and so on. When you give that guy the rights and he tries to get the money, the borrower is going to turn to him and say, who the heck are you? So if you present the power of attorney as an attorney, that I am prosecuting this loan for so-and-so, that's one thing. But when you claim that it's your loan because he said that I can keep the money, the guy can say it's ridiculous. I mean, you can't just arbitrarily assign a loan. So what is the machlokas now between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim? The machlokas is about the very famous halacha of Ravuna Amarav. The Amar Ravuna Amarav, mona li biyadecha, if somebody goes to someone and he says, you owe me $100, tnehu leploni, give it to Mr. X. So we have Mr. A and Mr. B and Mr. X, right? So Mr. A says to Mr. B, look, the money you owe me, give it to X. If this is done by Ma'amat Shloshtan, the three of them are standing there, A, B, and X, kana. Now elsewhere the Gemara says, and we have this, elsewhere the Gemara says that the din of Ma'amat Shloshtan does not have any compelling logic. In other words, it's a takana. The Chachamim made this as a takana, but it's a takana she'in lo tam. In lo tam doesn't mean it doesn't have a raison d'etre. Obviously, there's a reason we made it. It means it doesn't have any mechanism that is well-defined in the law. And it requires an act of Bezdin that utilizes the keach of Bezdin to say, they could even say hefker, Bezdin, hefker, in order to create this possibility. And the reason that they created Ma'amat Shloshtan, there's many, many approaches in the Rishonim, but the ones that are most acceptable is that it was one of the dinim of commerce that is so important and so much a way in which you can continue to function commercially. Because, I mean, can you imagine when people are on 30-day credit things and you're not going to be able to say to somebody else is coming in delivering material, well, you know what, he's going to pay me, he'll pay you. I mean, it would be an absolute disaster if all of that had to be done dafka with a shtar. So because of that, they made a takana in order to simply oil, grease the gears of commerce. So this was a takana. We find many takanas like that, but usually we find a way to do it that's legal. Okay, there's no really legal way. There's no mechanism just because I say so, so therefore what? If they made this a takana, and it's called the takana of Ma'amat Shloshtan, where three people are standing. So Ma'asava, Kika Barav Hanim Elipikadon, one man, the owner, says that the din of Ma'amat Shloshtan is only where there is an item, not where there is a debt due. So if somebody could say, hey, you know the wallet I gave you to hold for me? Give it over to so-and-so. That, yes, but if there's nothing concrete, you're saying, you know what you owe me? Then Ma'amat Shloshtan won't work. And if that's the case, you can't use it over here by giving a power of attorney to the woman, because he'll say, this is not your loan. I've never saw you before. Mashain came. So that's if you hold it's Eina Mekudashes. But if you hold it is Mekudashes, Marsovar, Loshlom Yovav, Loshlom Pikadon, it doesn't matter. Rabbi Meir says, Ma'amat Shloshtan works on whether it's an abstracted thing or whether it's a concrete thing. Okay, this is the way most learn. Others learn that it's a question of Gemiras Das. Like Rashi says here, although Rashi himself elsewhere says it's not a function of the Gemirut Dat. Part of Kenyan is that people have to be convinced about the thing, and they have to really believe that they own it. Abstractions are very unconvincing. But elsewhere, Rashi learns that it's not a function of the people. It's a question of whether there needs to be something concrete for a Kenyan to be chal on. And that's the problem. The Rabbana didn't have any way to do that. Okay.
Because
it is concrete. Okay, so that could be the machlokas. Says the Gemara, okay, now we've finished that issue. And that already opens up whole new questions. Can you be Mekadosh a woman with a check? Can you be Mekadosh a woman by giving her stocks? And so on and so forth, right? And that also is underneath the overall umbrella of the Mekadosh B'milva issue. Let's go on and find some more interesting issues. And once again, we'll pretend that Nemek et Hanoi. Shall we say that the Psak of Rav, about Mekadosh B'milva and Mekudeshes, is a function of the following machloket tana'im. Namely, itkachira bishtar, somebody says to a woman, be mekudeshet to me with this contract. So Rabbi Meir Omer Eina Mekudeshes, Rabbi Elazar Omer Mekudeshes. So Rabbi Meir says, no, that's no good. Now, obviously, our first thought is that, I mean, it can't be talking about Mekadosh B'Shtar, Kedushin B'Shtar. I mean, it can't be Maklokas. I mean, we know Ayish Mekadosh B'Kesef B'Shtar. So you could have used Shtar. So it must be talking about some type of financial instrument, right? Mekadosh B'Shtar. That's what we figured. So we have a three-way Maklokas. We'll see, we're going to get into it. So Rabbi Meir says, well, that's no good. Rabbi Elazar says, no, that is good. And the Chachamim say, well, it depends if it's worth the paper it's written on, basically. In other words, how much is the paper worth? So Shamina Taniyar, find out how much the paper is worth. If the paper is worth a lot, you know, maybe it's high-quality parchment, or who knows, maybe underneath it it's got an original Leonardo da Vinci drawing, you know, that he wrote something over. Yeah, that's right. I mean, there's ways, you know. But so you find out whether the Niyar is worth the Shafer Pruta, and she's Mekudeshet, the Imlav ain't a Mekudeshet. Now, let us consider, what are we talking about? Hashtar Hechidami. What type of contract do we mean that we have this Machlokas? I mean, Ilay Meshtar Chov de Akhirim, it means a financial instrument that somebody else owes? Is that what you think? That's ridiculous. Because just yesterday, Rabbi Meir took that case, and he said it is Mekudeshet. And here he says it is a Mekudeshet. I mean, how did that happen? So obviously, it can't be the same case where he said the Feirish yesterday the opposite, right? Why are you looking confused, Bobby dear? But you're happy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good, good. Okay, great. So it can't be talking about that, because then Kasha to Rabbi Meir, other Rabbi Meir. Okay, Ella, it's got to be talking about what we've been looking for all along. And this is a Shtar Chov Dida. It's her own contract. I owe you, she writes, $1,000. And he says, keep it, darling, and you be mine. So there, Rabbi Meir says, Eina Mekudeshet, because they're arguing at Mekadosh B'Milva, right? Ube Mekadosh B'Milva Kamiflege. Omer Nachum Bar Yitzchak, no. That's not what it's talking about at all. Oh, boy. The way you arrived at this absurd, it's talking about that he went ahead and gave her a Mekadosh B'Shtar with a Shtar that says, Eina Mekudeshet, please. What do you think it means? I mean, you think if you say a Shtar and a Kedushin, it means a Shtar Chov? What, are you Jewish or something? So all you think about is money. It's a Shtar of Kedushin. So what are they arguing about? It's not signed. That's the problem. The Machlokas over here, therefore, is, does a Shtar Kedushin have to be signed by witnesses? So Rabbi Meir goes to Shitato. Remember that there's a major Machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar all over about whether contracts function because of the signature on the paper, or whether contracts function because of the signature, because of the people who witnessed it, and it's just that that signature is the equivalent of Edei Mesira. But the real thing is, I saw him give that shtar. That's what I'm testifying to. Not that the shtar was written. And that's called Edei Mesira, according to which you don't need to have the signature on the paper. It's just a convenience. We just need a we just need an aid that it was done and handed over. That's what's important, is the handing. So Rabbi Meir over here is saying, well, this is not a good Kedushin. Where's the signatures? That's his opinion all over the place. He says, Edi Chatimah Karta. What makes things legal is the signatories. Rabbi Elazar Latayim, Edi Amar, Edi Mesirah Karta. Rabbi Elazar on the other hand says, why? This is a perfectly good Shtar Kedushin because we have witnesses that saw him hand it over. Why is it any different than telling a woman, Arayat Mekudeshet Li, and witnesses say, I saw him telling it over. Rabbanan, and why did Rabbanan say that it depends how much money the shtar is worth? What does that have to do with? The Rabbanan, you see, are not sure out of Paschet. So, Misafke lo yikra Rabbi Meir, yikra Rabbi Elazar. Therefore, yokak shamina taniyar. They say, okay, first of all, let's see whether it's worth money. If it's worth money, then it's certainly going to be valuable as Kedusha Kesef. So, shamina taniyar. Im yesh bo shavar pruta mekudeshet. Now, this part, im lav eina mekudeshet, does not make sense because they're misupak. So, we have to take out those words, im lav eina mekudeshet. It's obviously an error. Because it's a suffix. Exactly. So that the Rishonim changed this girsa. V'iboy tema, another level of machlokas. Maybe it's talking about a Shtar Kedushin, but a Shtar Kedushin was written Shelo Lishma. And the machlokas over here is in Reish Lakish. You remember how much Reish Lakish loves that hekesh of the Yatzava Haita. He was the one that was screaming like a rooster, the Yatzava Haita, the Gemara we had earlier. So here Reish Lakish, what they're arguing about is in this point that Reish Lakish made. Initially, Reish Lakish questioned the boy Reish Lakish, Shtar Erusin, you write a Shtar Kedushin, Arei Mekudeshet Li, but you bought it in a store, right? So it was Katvot Shelo Lishma. It was not written for the purpose of any particular man or woman. It was just, you know, it's like one of those things that you buy a little Hallmark card that say, will you marry me? So this one says, you do hereby marry me. Same idea. So it was written Shelo Lishma. That's the question. Basically all of Hallmark's business is based on this Gemara. Not like Rav Shlomo. Can you write a love letter for someone else and have somebody be dumb enough to accept it? That's what it's all about. No, it's always that way with a shtar. There's got to be someone that's good for it. So Mahu, unless you believe there's a bullet that has your name on it, so then this card might have been made for you. So here was Shelo Lishma, Mahu. So Havaya Liyitziyah Makhinan, shall we say that since the Torah compares the Havaya, the creation of Kedushin, to the Yitziyah, to the exit from Kedushin through Gerushin, because it says V'yatzav Ha'itah. So therefore we should conclude that obviously if a get needs to be written Lishma, so my Yitziyah bein Lishma, so Av Havaya Nami bein Lishma, so then that would mean that a Shtar Kedushin has to be similar to a Shtar Gerushin, and has to be written with the people in mind. O Dilma, or do we say it makes more sense to compare the different modes of Havayot Lahadani Makshina, that you have a comparison. Certainly, when you're Mekadosh with Kesev, that Kesev wasn't manufactured particularly for this woman. And if that's the case, you don't have to write a shtar particularly for this woman. So just like Mahavaya de Kesev, lo beina lishma, Afavaya de shtar, lo beina lishma. That was his initial questioning, Reish Lakish, and as we know about the Bai, after he thought the question, he decided that he knows the answer, Adar Pashta, V'yatzav Aita. That overrides everything. Makish Havayali Yitziyah. Okay, so in any event, the Machlokus over here would be very straightforward. Namely that it has to be written Lishma. And in this case, it was not written Lishma, and therefore says Rima Meir, I'm sorry, Enim Kudeshet. Whereas in this case, Rebbe Lazar, he doesn't hold that it has to be written Lishma, so therefore Rebbe Lazar says it is Mekudeshet. And once again, the Chachamim were Mesupa, like we said before. Or, I've got now a tertiary explanation. You did write it Lishma. The only thing is, you didn't write her, tell her that you're writing it. So it was Shalomi Da'ata. And this is now another issue. This is the big machlokas that we had between Rava, Ravina, and Rav Papa, and Rav Shar, and where was that? If you recall, the Itma, Kitavo Lishma, we had the question back at the beginning of the Masechta. If you write a shtar, and she doesn't even know about it. Now, why would that be important? So Rav Ravina says, it's not important. What's the difference? The fact that she's Mekabelitz, everything's fine, right? She's Mekudeshes. Rav Pop and Rav Sharvia say, no, in a Mekudeshes. Because look, when you write a get, the one who has to tell the person to write the get is the man who's going to be Makne, the Rishus of the woman to the woman. And if he doesn't tell the sofer, the fact that the sofer wrote the get, that doesn't do any good if there hadn't been a tzivoy to write the get, right? Even though he had it in mind. He sees relationships are deteriorating and he writes the get to be ready, you know, and be the first one in there to make the money on the contract. It doesn't help. So over here, who is the one that is being makna? Who is the dat makna? The woman. So if you write a shtar kedushin, even though the writer of the shtar may be the male, but the giver of oneself is the female, and she didn't say to write the shtar, therefore, by analogy to Gittin, it would not be kosher. So therefore, ain't him a kedushin, and that's what they're arguing. And again, you would say the chachamim were mesupak, and therefore they said it depends how much money it's worth, otherwise it's a suffix. Okay. All right, so now we've got three different issues we need to take into consideration. Next, please. Neima kanitanoi. Maybe Rav's psak of the kaddish bilov ain't him a kedushin is the subject of a machloket between the following tanoi, the tanya. Here's a fascinating case. Woman walks into a jewelry store, and this guy makes beautiful, creative stuff. She brings in her old jewelry to melt down and to make something really creative and nice. Okay, so she says to the jeweler, okay, take this gold, and asili shirayim nizamim tabaot, you make me a set over here, a bracelet and rings and a necklace, and then akadesha nilach lecha, I will, for the value of your work, I am going to be married to you. Now, you don't even have to pay. All you got to do is make it, you know. Just think if you had to actually buy all of this stuff. It'd be really expensive. I'm making you a real deal. So Kivan Shazan, when he does the work and he's giving her this beautiful thing, it's ready to be given, Mikudesha, give her Rebbe Meir. So Chachomim say, no. Ain't a Mikudesha, it's actually a Giyamam only Yada. It's not Mikudesh until the money comes into her hand. Well, which money? So hi, Mom and Echidami, which money? So Ilema Oto Mamon, what does it mean? In other words, when he gives her back the jewelry? What are you trying to say, that the Tanakama holds she's a Mekudeshes even if she doesn't get it back? I mean, maybe she'll never get it back. And there's no nesina bechlal. So bechlal the tanakam is over. Afilu oto mamon namilu. I mean, that's ridiculous. Ela b'may makacha. Take out that word bo. It makes no sense. Ela b'may makacha. What is he giving her for kiddush? Ela lav b'mamon acher. So in other words, the chachamim are saying, don't tell me that in giving her back the jewelry that you have a kiddush. That's ridiculous. You got to give her something new. Well, that we'll see. But clearly something else, separate from whatever it is that's here. So there's got to be other money. Okay, so then what are they arguing about? They're arguing about Mekadesh B'Milva, basically. Because the way to look at this is, you owe me money for my work as a jeweler. When I'm giving you this back, and I'm telling you, don't worry about paying me, so I'm using now the money that you owe me to be Mekadesh you. But that's Mekadesh B'Milva. And that's the Machlokas. If you hold, you need, nah, that doesn't help, you need other money. It's because you hold Mekadesh B'Milva and Mekadesh. If you're saying it's Mekudesh, like the Tanakama, like Rabbi Meir, so then you're saying Mekadesh B'Milva is okay. Shema minav Mekadesh B'Milva kamiflugei. Now, all of that is based on a certain assumption, which it's time to identify, because when we identify it, we may discover that there are all kinds of other little things slithering beneath the surface that we need to take into consideration. So Savre, our first take on this was that everybody, Rabbi Meir and the Chachomim, agree that Yeshna l'schirut mitchilava atzof v'havi milva, meaning when you work on something, okay, you are a workman. Somebody comes in, gives you a job. You start to work on the job. So he's now working on this gold. He takes his hammer and he does the first five bangs on the hammer. How much were those first five bangs worth? Whatever they're worth, let's say one pruta. In other words, he's going to be, let's say he's being paid by the hour, you know. So he figures, okay, the clock is ticking. He sticks in the ticker. The clock is now 0.01. At that point, she owes him 0.01. The next time the clock ticks, it's now 0.02 cents. She now owes him 2 cents. That's called the Yeshlam Sfirot Mitchilav Atzov. As the work is done, the value now is considered to be a debt due to the worker. The other way of looking at it is that when you're a contractor, the work, when completed, is now due. But there's no accrued debt that keeps growing. So our assumption was the first approach, which is called Yeshlam Sechirut Mitchilav Atzov. Value for work, here Sechirut means sachar, not rental. Value for work is being given from the first moment that it reaches the Shavar Pruta all the way till the end where you're completing the job. Now that means that for the past 3 weeks, she's been basically owing him more and more and more, but that's a loan. So now when he gives it back to her, there's a big loan. So now there's, let's say, $1,000 worth of work that he's put in, but that's a loan. In which case, my law, Bokamivki. That's why we said that apparently they're arguing, if you say it's Mekudesh, it's according to Rabbi Meir, it must be because he holds Mar Sava, HaMekadesh B'Milva Mekudesh. The Chachamim was saying, no. There's got to be money here, not a loan. Is because they hold Mar Sava, HaMekadesh B'Milva, and Mekudesh. That was our first take. Now that we see the assumption, we can obviously immediately understand the alternative. The alternative is lo, the Kuliyam HaMekadesh B'Milva, and Mekudesh. What we could say is that there's no machlokas of Mekadesh B'Milva. The question over here, is there a milva? That's the question. If it's a milva, then for sure it's not good kedusha. And the Chachomim therefore saying, Enim Mekudesh. What are they arguing about? They're arguing on the way that contract work has to be paid. That's the machlokas. So Hachab Yeshna L'Schirut B'Tchila Vatzov Kamifelge. They may be arguing about that very issue. Is there an accruing debt? Mar Savar Einal L'Schirut Ela L'Besov. So one man, the Omar, says, no, the debt is due at the moment that the kli is given into her hands. So when he hands over that jewelry, he says to her, the added value in this jewelry is yours for Kedushin. There never was a debt. At the moment that it would have become a debt, he says, there isn't a debt. I'm giving it to you, darling. So then that's perfectly kosher Kedushin. He's not being Mekadosh with a debt. Umar Savar Yeshin L'Schirut B'Tchila Vatzof. Vashen Kedusha Chomim saying, no, what do you mean? There's nothing that he can give her now. It was all due all along. And in which case, he's trying to utilize the money that she owes him for the work to be Mekadosh. That's a milva. He can't do that. Okay, now let's move on once again to a tertiary explanation. What we could say is that actually everybody agrees that this is a milva. Furthermore, everybody agrees that a milva is not a good kedushin. So for heaven's sakes, what is the machlokas? A brilliant machlokas. The machlokas over here is on the nature of mechanic lien. As you know, there is a legal concept called a mechanics lien. Mechanics lien, the reason we call it a mechanics lien is because generally it has to do with a garage. But it's basically an overall concept in contractual work. You bring your car in, the guy fixes the car, you get into an argument, and you want to pay less than he wants. And he doesn't want to give you back the car. So you say, what do you mean you don't want to give me back the car? I'll call the police. You can keep my car. He can keep your car. Because he has a lien against your car for the money due him. So if you want him to release the car, then you have to pay the lien. Then you can fight him. But he can, because he invested his work in the car, the debt that is due him creates a lien in the car.
Yeah,
exactly. But he doesn't have to give you the car until you're able to pay him to release the lien.
This is implied without even
a paper. Actually, if you look at the little writing in when you sign the your life away when you give in the car, but the truth is probably doesn't even need to be written. So here the machlokas is whether a worker actually gains a lien in what he's working on. That's the machlokas. And hacha bu'uman koneh b'shevach kli kamiflegeh. The question is whether a craftsman gets an actual acquisition in the added value of what it is that he's working on, and that's the machlokas. See how brilliant this is constructed? So in other words, we have to take into consideration every possible concept of the netina. What are you giving her? Now if there was a lien, oh, so when you give her the thing, so now forget about the debt. I'm not being mekadesh with the milk. I'm being mekadesh with this thing. So mar sofer uman koneh b'shevach kli. One man the armor holds, Rabbi Meir holds over here. What are you going to say? Whatever I was mashbiach, that's not a loan. That's actual value that I own in this bracelet. I am giving you my piece of this bracelet to be mekadesh to me. That's perfectly okay. Nothing to do with mekadesh b'milva. Where's the chachamim hold? Einu man koneh. I mean, Rebbe Lazar, einu man koneh b'shevach kli. Or let's go on yet another possibility. Maybe by tema, maybe everybody holds there is no mechanic lien. Einu man koneh b'shevach kli. Furthermore, everybody holds the way that the value is meant to be paid is as an accruing debt. And yesh no schiros mitchila batzov. And furthermore, everybody is agreeing that mekadesh b'milva einu mekadesh. So you'll say, so what the heck are they arguing on already? What they're arguing on is, how about if the guy added a garnet? A garnet. He added a garnet. He garnished. A little gem. He added a little gem. Jazz. I actually had this happen. I actually did this. I brought in a piece without a thing to a guy, asked him to fix it up, and he added a little garnet without even asking. So, okay, so that's what it's talking about over here. Shahosifla nofech mishalo. He added on a little piece. Oh, there's nothing wrong with it, but that wasn't given to him. That's entirely his own. It's very interesting because nofach mishalofa is a play on words of pronunciation. Usually say hosif le nofach mishalof, people can use with a chet. Right? It was menapeach it. So you think, I don't know. Here it means nofach in the Lashon, nofach sapir v'yalom, which are names of gems. So nofach mishalof, it's like it's what you usually say when somebody says over a vort, right? So he says, "Vani rotzelo hosif nofech mishali," which usually means that he's just blowing it up and saying nothing extra. But over here, he actually garnished it with a garnish. That's the point, as our president has said. So it's worth a shavar pruta. Why can't he do it just with that little stone? Because he's being mekadesh with the whole jazz. So it's a milva and a pruta. That's the machlokas. What is her das? Is her das on the pruta or is her das on the milva? In which case the milva wouldn't work. So, hosif la novem mishalo, marsava milva pruta daitea pruta, marsava daitea milva. And we know that that is in fact an important machlokas because that for sure is a machlokas tanoim. Ube pluta daani tanoim. Detanya. Somebody says, "Bischarsha asiti imach, I want you to be mekudeshet li, for that which I did for you, I fixed your transmission." So over there, for sure, ain't a mekudeshet, because I mean, no matter what you hold, that obviously had already been done, and there was already a discussion. There was already money owed. She's not paying her bill, so he says, "How about it, honey? Forget about the bill." Okay, that's for sure no good. Bischarsha esay imach, but if he makes a deal for what I am going to do for you, I will fix your transmission if you will be my wife. So then when he gives her back the car, So then she would be mekudeshes. Why? Apparently because he holds any l'sirut a little bit soft. Remy Natan says, makes no difference. I don't care how you do it. For sure, kosher came b'schar she'asitimach. For sure, if you already did it, I mean, that's ridiculous. But even if you say you're going to do it, because he holds yeshul l'sirut mitzchilavatzov, and it's b'karash b'milva. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi omer. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi adds one point. He says like this. Be'emet amru, you can absolutely rely on the psak. This is a Kabbalah that we have. The bein b'schar she'asiti, bein b'schar she'aseimach, einam k'dashim. You're right, Rabbi Natan. However, you're wrong about one thing, and that is you did not take into consideration the possibility of im hosif lo nofech mishalo mikudeshet. If, however, he adds that little extra piece so that he now gives her back a new hubcap over there, she would be mikudeshet. All right. So the difference between the Tanakama who makes the nafkamina, whether it's what I did or will do, and Rabbi Natan who says it makes no difference. Clearly, they're arguing about the old question of Yeshel Lesfirot Mitzchila Vatzov. Okay, that's the difference. Between Rabbi Nassi and Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, whereas Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi says, no, the hubcap makes all the difference in the world, and Rabbi Nassi says, I don't care about the hubcap. Over there, they're arguing, clearly, Yikabino Milvo Pruta. The hubcap is just a pruta compared to the actual repair of the transmission. So, Mar Sover Milvo Pruta Daita Milva, says Rabbi Nassi, therefore, I don't care if you had a hubcap. Mar Sover Daita A Pruta. So we know that there is such a machlok.
Are we sure
that Rabbi Yehuda is not going to interview them? Yeah. Because the Omer, the place of the Omer. Are you ready for your statement? We're left without any indication that anybody argues about Mekadesh B'Milvah, so that it becomes the normative halacha. And now, I assume you've been practicing, and you are ready for the great announcement. Hitkatshili bekoze shel yayin. So someone says, I want you to be mekadesh, mekudeshet to me with this lovely cup of delicious wine. Venimza shel dvash, and it turns out to be filled with honey. Now honey at the time was worth more than wine. Or he says, have this cup of honey. Venimza shel yayin, it turns out to be wine. Or he says, take this dinner kesef, and it turns out to be a dinner zav. Wow, that's great. Or a dinner zav, and it turns out it's only shal kesef. Or he says, on condition that I am rich, but it turns out that he's poor. Or he says, on condition that I'm poor, it turns out that he's rich. All such changes ina mikudeshet. You'll notice that the kos shal yayin, the nimtza shal dvash, is going up. The dinner shal kesef, the nimtza shal zav, is going up. So amanat shani ashir, the nimtza ani, is going up. Yes. Always dangerous to marry rich people. Yes, the Gemara says. It's not Kahati, it's the Gemara. Rabbi Shimon says, well, it depends. Im hit'al shevach mekudesha. If it's the right direction, you know, I mean, it's worth more. So then it's okay if it's worth more. But still, I mean, it has to be a pattern in the Mishnah, no? I mean, why would we change the pattern? Tana Rabbana. We're going to get into it. It's kachili because ze. Somebody says, be mekudeshet with this cup. So it's very weird because we have three braitot that say opposite things from each other. One braita says, Tani chada bo v'mash betocho. What he means is the actual cup and the contents of the cup. Another braita says, no, he means the cup, not with what's in the cup. And yet a third braisa says, no, he means only what's in the cup, but not the cup. How do you explain that? Well, gosh, very simple, I'm explaining it. One is talking about that the cup contained water. Now, water doesn't have any chashivut. So when he said, bim mukadesha to me, they hadn't discovered peria yet. So when he says over there, bim mukadesha to me, he obviously meant the cup. The other one is talking about wine. Over there, the wine is very valuable. He meant the wine. The norm is when somebody gives you a cup of wine, you're not thinking about the cup that the wine is in. You're thinking about the wine. It's a lovely cup of champagne. Whereas the case that says it's the cup, the container and the contents, it's talking about siara. Siara is either fish brine or fish oil, but it's a dip that is usually finished over the course of weeks. I mean, you certainly don't mean pour it into something else or pour it into your stomach. So over there, it means you're giving it to her with the container. Says the Gemara, according to Rabbi Shimon, im hit ala shevach, harezim akodeshes, as long as it's worth more, then that's fine. How could you say something like that if there was a long-accepted concept in Baba Basra and nobody ever argued on it? You're telling me that Let Leila Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon disagrees with the Yesod, which says somebody purchases wine, and it turns out to be vinegar. Or he's purchasing vinegar, and it turns out to be wine. Shnehem yecholim lachzor ben. Buyer and seller in either case can claim that they want their money back. So you see, alma ikan echle b'chalav ikan echle b'chamra. You see that a person may very well be interested. He's a chef and he needs vinegar. He said, thank you very much for the wine. What am I going to do with it? Forget about it. I want to go to another makolet. He wants his money back. He said, ah, I'll give you something that's worth so much more. You should say thank you. That's the Israeli response. Right? But I don't want that. Doesn't matter. I'm telling you this is much better. Definitely want that. Okay. So you see, you can't say such a thing, and anybody who wants out, I mean, certainly the seller could say, my gosh, I made a terrible mistake. I gave you something worth 10 times as much as you paid me. He for sure could say, but even the other person can say, look, I don't care about the value. I know what I want. So, Hachinami, you should say the same thing over here. Look, I mean, how do we know when you're giving her silver? Maybe she needs the silver because she's in the middle of making this beautiful necklace, and all that it's missing is this little piece of silver, and they're giving out the awards this evening. She goes in to buy silver, and then you say to her, it's okay, you can use the gold. It's worth more. I can't use the gold. I'm telling you, use the gold. So you say the same thing? So you get an echle b'kasper, an echle b'dahava. How can Rabbi Shimon say l'shevach? What does l'shevach mean? I mean, it depends on what a person needs. Om Reb Shimi Bar Ashi, this is a serious problem. And I happened to walk into a baye who was sitting and learning this Mishnah with his kids. And you know how he explained the Mishnah, in which I think it makes a tremendous amount of sense. He explained the Mishnah to his kid like this. The Mishnah is not referring to a case where a man says to a woman, but rather where a man had said to a messenger, he had appointed an agent to do this. So he had said to the agent, listen, do me a favor, lend me a dinar shel kesef and go be mekadesh this woman for me. Now, the shliach was a very nice guy, decided he probably just didn't want to bother me to try to get hold of gold. But, of course, any idiot would rather, I mean, much greater chance he's going to give her a dinar shel zav that she'll accept kedushin. I'm going to lend him a dinar shel zav. So he goes to the woman and gives her a dinar shel zav. So now the question is, do we say, what, are you crazy? I never would have given a dinar shel zav. Or do we say, no, that he can't say that, and that he's nechala. So the halach v'yilva shel zav. So ma'as sava k'peida. So the Tana Kama said, if he said kesef, he means kesef. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says, no, marsav amara malkam hulo. He's just saying, oh, look, you know, if it's hard for you, just give me a dollar's worth of kesef. But really, he would have been happier the other way too. He just wants to make life easier on the shliach. And that's true about all of these cases. So, yochi yitkachili. First of all, none of this makes sense. I mean, Abaya, you know, it's very nice to tell this to your kid, you know. Don't try to tell me this is a pshat in the Mishnah. Because then why in the world would the Mishnah focus on what the guy says to the woman? Why would it say, itkachi li? I mean, what it should say is that the shliach is saying to the woman, itkachi lo, not itkachi li. I mean, he's not trying to be mekadesher, according to what you're saying. And that's the whole point. The question is, what does a person mean when he appoints an agent? I mean, you can't hide that beneath what the agent is saying to the woman. Why doesn't it say? The agent said, be mekadesher to him. Okay? That's A. B. Hita l'shevach. The next thing that it says in Rabbi Shimon is, well, it's okay. If he fooled her in a better way, that's okay. What do you mean? He wasn't fooling her at all. It was Hita Ehu l'shevach. He was taking advantage of the Mishaleach by lending him more money, better money. And then you say, and it turns out to be, what do you mean it turns out to be? It always was. I mean, it turns out to be. Turns out to be means the woman thought something, and then it turns out to be something else. But that didn't happen over here. What she got was what she thought she was getting. What do you mean, nimtza? Mi koranami dezav havi. This is ridiculous, this chat. If it doesn't fit into one word in the Mishnah. You know, I mean, maybe you could tell something to your kid to make life easier on him, but you certainly don't want to try to seriously say this is what the Mishnah means. Elama Rava says, Rava, me and the lion. We know who that's talking about, assuming that the Ari is there. Aniva Ari shebechabura, me and the lion explained it, Tagimna. And who do I mean by lion? Numanu. I mean Rav Chiya bar Avi. Ach, b'mayaskinan. What we're talking about is like this. A woman appoints an agent, and she says, go ahead and be makabo my kedushin from so-and-so, because he told me, he sent me a letter that he wants to be makadosh me with a dinar shel kesef. The agent of the woman goes, and he gives the agent a dinar shel zav. So what Abaye was saying is true, it's just in the other direction. So marsav ha-kepeda, umarsav ha-mara makomilo. So the Tanakhama holds over here, look, if that's what she wants, then that's what she wants. The other Yoma says, no, she's just saying, I don't really care. You know, even if it's kesef, it's fine. I mean, just get it done. That's what she's saying. Obviously, it's vizav. He's even happier. So why does it say nimsa? It says nimsa because davikatsayer bevlita. I mean, when you give over something that's worth a lot of money, you often wrap it, you know, you wrap it in a little bit of tissue. It's got a little ribbon on it with a heart, you know, the whole business. And that's why he's saying nimsa. It's not that the nimsa is relevant in any way. It's just that we're just saying, like, you know, it's cute. It was wrapped. Okay, to be continued. But this, she's an agent. What about the milvalpe, the my plague? But Ravun Omarav, the Omarun Omarav, Mona Libiadeka, Tineo the Ploni, Bema Machlo Shtam Kana. So Marsava Kikomarav, that's only with a pikadon that's extant. Mashenkin a milva is abstract. There's no than a ma machlo shtam. Therefore you can't use it to be makanish. Umarsava Loshna Milva Veloshna Pikadon. Name a ketanoi. Hit kachili bishtar, Rabbi Meir Omer, Aina Mekudesh, Rabbi Lazar Mekudeshet, Vechachomim Omrim. Well, if it's worth the paper it's written on, Shamina Taniyar. Im Yesh Bo Shava Pruta Mekudeshet, Im Lav, and it's a Sofik, as you said. Now, Haishtar Echidam, Ilem Ishtar Chov Da Cherim, that's impossible. Because then Rabbi Meir is contradicting himself from yesterday. Kasha the Rabbi Meir, other Rabbi Meir. Ella, we're talking about a Shtar Chov Dida. So we're arguing about Kaddish Bemilva. Omrim Nachman Yitzchak, no. We're talking about Nachman, it's going to teach you a shtar, a kedushin shtar, but ain't a levedim. Rabbi Meir, the time in the Amar Eidim, chatima karti, therefore it's useless. Rabbi Elazar, the time in the Amar Eidim, misira karti, and if it's a normal kedushin. Rabbanim is safik, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Elazar, hilkach shamina taniyar, im yesh po shavapruta mekudash. Or, vibay tema, kagon shikatavo shalodashma, and the argument here is about Rish Lakish's principle. Because initially, by Reish Lakish Tari Reish Shiktavo Shilonishma Mao, Havaya Yitzia Makshin and Ma Yitzia Bina Lishma, Af Havaya Nami Bina Lishma, Odioma, it makes more sense to say Havayot La Dadi Makshina. And just like Havaya the Kesev Lo Bina Lishma, Af Havaya the Shtar Lo Bina Lishma. And then, but to the Baya Hadar Pashta, obviously, Vyatsava Ita, Makish Havaya Yitzia. So one man Yomri to the Reish Lakish, and therefore it's not a kosher star. Therefore, even though it's not written lishma, it's still a kosher shtar. By Tamei Guliyama, itu the Reish Lakish, and it was written properly lishma. But the issue over here was Achamay Eskinish Kedavah lishma, but without her knowledge, Shlomidata, which is a whole different can of worms. But look at the Rava Ravina of the Papa of Shabri, who can be the Gedidma Kedavah lishma for Shlomidata Rava Ravina of Kedeshet, the Papa of Shabri Omar, Enam of Kedeshet. So name a kani tanoi. The Tanya, Aseli Shiraim Nizamim Tabaot Vakadesh Ani Lecha Kivancha Asaan Mekudeshet Divrei Rabbi Meir Chachamim Omrim No, Ani Mekudeshet Ad Sheyagia Mamon Liada. Now, when we say Mamon, what do you think we're talking about? I mean, Echidami Ilema Oto Mamon. What do you mean? Give her back what it is that she gave him? What is that supposed to mean? You're telling me that the Tanakama Oto Afilo Oto Mamon Namilo Boy? That's ridiculous. Ella must be then be by Mekacha. Ella, you're doing it again. El Alav, it's got to be talking about other money. Vishmamina, they're arguing about whether you can use the money itself in Kadosh B'milva. Why? Because we thought, Sabi, de Kuleyama, Yeshua, Tzchirs, Vatkilavat, Sof, Ve'avi Milva. So, my love, Bob Kamivage, Marzah, Mekadosh B'milva, Mekadosh, Umarzah, Mekadosh B'milva, Ene Mekadosh. No. That's a whole different issue. Kuleyama, Mekadosh B'milva, Ene Mekadosh. Question over here may be a machlok, it's about whether Yeshua, Tzchirs, Vatkilavat, Sof, Kamivage. Or, and the only question over here is whether the craftsman has a lien. Or you know what? We're talking about over here where he added a garment. Rabbi Natan Omer makes no difference. Even Bischar She'aseimach Enim Mekudash Koshkei Bischar She'asitimach, Rabbi Yonah Nazi says, well, you're right, but you're wrong about what you left out. Be'emet amru bein Bischar She'asiti ben Bischar She'aseh Enim Mekudash Bat Imosiv Lanovem Mishalo Mekudash. So now, Ben Tanakam and Rabbi Natan, the argument is about whether Yeshua excuse Mekudash. Ben Rabbi Natan and Rabbi Yonah Nazi, then after being his Milvel Pruta. Mar Savar Milvel Pruta Daita Amilva, Mar Savar Daite on the hubcap of the Pruta. It catchy because there shall yaim and him shall zelva. Shall zelva, shall zelva, shall yaim. But then shall zelva, shall kesev, and him shall zelva. Shall zelva, and him shall kesev. Amanat shani ashir, and him sa ani. Ani, and him sa ashir. Eina mekudeshet. Rabbi Shimon Omer, im hit al shevach mekudeshet. Tan Rabbana. It catchy because ze. So first one brisa says bo ubamash betocho. Another says bo velo ubamash betocho. And a third says with both. With only ubamash betocho velo bo. Velo kasha. What? Let the Rabbi Shimon. Either party. Because clearly, Alma, you can echle bechalav, you can echle bechamra. So, want to say the same thing over here? Achinami, you can echle bechas, but lo echle bechava. Omer, Shimon Barashi, Ashkachte, Lurabaye. The Yotzi, Vekamazber, Levrei. Here's how he explained it to his kid. Hokmes, Kin, and Kon, Charmer, Lishlucho. Halveni dinar shel kesef v'lech v'kadesh li'ishaploni. And this shliach goes ahead v'alach v'ilvat shel zahav. So Mar Sava paid and all he wanted was kesef. Mar Sava maramah kamulah to make life easier. Boo. Yochit kachili. I mean, she said, yachilo mi boile. It says, it'ah l'shevach. It's nothing to do with it'ah. It's it'eu l'shevach mi boile. And then it says, nimtza. What do you mean, nimtza? Mikor nami dizov avit. This is ridiculous. Elo Marava, I'll tell you. Aniv Ari Shebechubura Targimna. When I'm referring to the Ari, I refer to Reb Kiyah Baravi. Hakmai Eskinan Kegon Sheamra Yilish Lucha Tzevi Kabeli Kedush Biploni. Who told me he'd catch a bit in a shokesa? So now the agent goes. V'natana dinar shozav. So Mar Sovar Kepeda. Mar Sovar Maramokamilo. How do you answer the word about Nimtza? Nimsa means the katsayer bivlita.